This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
This Doug Duda, Damon Day with you here on ESPN Radio's Doug and Daddy Show. Oh, man.
What's up, buddy?
If Notre Dame, man, I thought you had it. I was looking at a bracket that some guy filled out that looked a lot like you, and they had Notre Dame winning the national title.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that's a little disheartening now, but I'm sure in 3 to 4 years when they take down the Kentucky banners for whatever payment of players or whatever Calipari did this time to, you know, maybe he's gotten better at his covering his tracks after they took away his Final Four at UMass and took away his Final Four at Memphis. Maybe he's found just a better way of hiding his tracks, but in 4 or 5 years, I'll be able to hang that Notre Dame National Championship banner from 2015 up, and it'll be an exciting time at our household when that happens. But no, what a great basketball game. What a great, just a competitive game to watch. And it was really fun to kind of be a big-time Notre Dame fan and kind of watch them in hoops with the family and everybody kind of rooting for them type of thing. But, man, you know, I didn't get to see a lot of the games this weekend, but what a Final Four matchup that we have going on with Duke, Michigan State, and just the great coaches there. And then you got, you know, Wisconsin, who, you know, Bo Ryan. You know, I love Bo Ryan because I remember him being a small school guy. You know, he was from Division III, Wisconsin, Platteville, and just kind of, you know, so anytime you see a small school guy, raise all the way up to the Final Four and doing his thing is awesome. And you know what? You cannot root for Kentucky. If you are a Kentucky fan, then you are just, in my opinion, you just root for evil in the world, you know. And so I just really would love to see, no matter what happens this weekend, I would just pray that Kentucky, I shouldn't say pray because it really, who cares, but I just don't want to see Kentucky win the national championship.
That has nothing to do with being undefeated. If they were 22 in the
league. John Calipari is all that is wrong in the world of sports. To me, if you were to put a poster up of what is wrong with sports today, it would be a picture of John Calipari. Because all he has done is shown that if you cheat and break the rules along the way, it doesn't matter because you can just go on to your next school and get rewarded.
And big schools.
Oh, no, and that's the thing about it. I don't care what anybody says about how he gets his teams ready or does all these. He is a crook. He is the most crooked coach in all of college athletics. He's a snake oil salesman. And I root for every time someone plays against them just because of him. I understand he's got some nice kids on his team. He's got some good ball players. You know, there was the great story about Cauley Stein, what he did with his Sunday morning after you know, going to the they're going to the Final Four, and he gets they get back to Lexington at 2 a.m. and he goes down to the Children's Hospital and visits the kids. You know, that those are great stories about his players, which are awesome, and those are the stories that I love. But it's all just under a cloud of suspicion and everything else because of who Calipari is and the reputation that he has. And so I'm really stunned, probably more so than anything, is how the pass that Calipari gets from the national media over his history, over his antics. I am very stunned that we have such a revisionist history. We have such a short-term memory in today's society. Is that he's now all of a sudden we're trying to trumpet him as one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time, and he's one of the greatest college crooks of all time moving forward. And so that's what I look forward to that's what I look at with the
you don't like
Final
it.
Four. No, I don't. No.
We've got a couple of breaking stories this morning. We were talking about it earlier this morning, if you've been listening. Kerry Hofstetter will be the new women's basketball coach at UNK, leaving Hastings College. A lot of people are loving the hire. We will not be talking with Kerry today. The press conference is tomorrow. We will be talking with her on the show tomorrow. And so a lot. Not only at UNK at Hastings College, a lot has been turned over here in the coaching here lately. So we'll be talking more about that. Mike Will, the voice of the Hastings College Broncos, is going to join us here in just a second. We'll also be talking with Lane Grindle from the Husker Sports Network about Husker baseball. Obviously, Damon's going to be telling us about Loper baseball and everything that's been going on and where they're sitting in the league. And news has just broke here this morning in this via the Kearney Hub and many news outlets. Superintendent Brian Maher is leaving Kearney Public Schools. He has accepted a job in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So everybody's moving on. I don't want to say leaving, Damon, but they are leaving. But a lot of moving on for different opportunities. Now, Tom Kropp's retiring, but we're seeing a lot of people move on to different opportunities. It is a major shakeup here in the last couple of weeks from the high school to the collegiate ranks. A lot going on.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
you got something else to tell me?
No, I mean, as a coach, you just kind of, I don't know.
Because Jess is in the system, you probably already knew about this.
No, actually, no. I'm so uninformed. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even read my email from Dr. Polinsky this morning and found out from you that we have a new women's basketball coach. So I would like to be the first person she's already probably gotten numerous, but I'd like to welcome her to the UNK family and thank you for letting me know that we have a new women's basketball coach. I'll get the opportunity to meet with her tomorrow morning before the press conference and the announcements, but that's exciting. I'm excited to meet her get an opportunity to visit with her. So I think that's a great hire by Dr. Polinsky, and I'm excited to add her to the family. And Dr. Maher's been phenomenal to my wife as a superintendent. And so I wish him nothing but the very best. But it is crazy when you kind of put down roots in a community, because I've kind of been a nomadic vagabond, from Indiana to Wisconsin to Illinois to Nebraska to Blair, now to Kearney. Now that I've been here an extended period of time, it is kind of a changing. It's weird to see. This is the first wave I've ever really been through where everybody's kind of getting new. I got a new athletic director, Coach Kropp's retiring. There's just been a lot of change within the last year. And then you look back at it from my perspective, and it's like, wow, I've actually been here long enough, to...
You're moving right up the ladder. Tenured... old guy.
Oh, no. I hope I'm not the old guy. I don't think I talk enough to – I don't think I'm enough on campus to be the old guy.
You talk. Don't worry about it. Mike Will, the voice of the Broncos and, of course, sports director over in Hastings, chimes in with us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. My goodness, it's not just UNK and the high schools and Hastings College. Everything's moving along. And, Michael, were you surprised at the announcement this morning?
This was a rumor that really got started really before the national tournament. We went up to Sioux City for the national tournament, and it was pretty widely known as a rumor that this might be, Kerry's last year. And that's the sort of thing, as a media folks, you don't talk with the head coach of a team that's going for the national championship. You don't bring it up during our time up there. But I had a chance to make contact with her when she got back to Hastings and said, here's what I heard. Are the rumors true? And she says, Mike, those are only rumors. They're pretty good rumors, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think we joked about it with her because we talked to her two or three times as the conference tournament and the national tournament started, and then, of course, the day of the semifinals. And I know that this is a good hire. I feel that this is a good hire. But it'll be interesting to see what some of the answers to the questions that we pose tomorrow was. I know that Dr. Plinsky over here continues and wants to hire young coaches at the Division II level. But what does that mean for Hastings College? Coach Perrone just came on. The assistant coaching staff isn't, I'm not going to say young, but they are all fairly new there at Hastings College. Do we automatically look at Coach Perrone, or will they open it up, and now that they've got the AD switch, where is Hastings with all this?
To be honest, I think it's going to be a mess, Doug. John Perrone is a great coach. He led Omaha Benson to the Class A Girls State Championship before he came to Hastings, and Kerry was fortunate enough to bring him along, which kind of opened a few eyes. Why would a head coach of a Class A Girls basketball team end up as the assistant coach at Hastings College? Well, now maybe we know. I don't know if the college is ready to hand the keys to the car, so to speak, to John Perrone. I think he's able to do the job, but like you said, he's going to be very, very inexperienced on the college level if they do, in fact, give him the head coaching job here.
It's been a family affair, and I reached out to Coach Hobson, who ironically is in Kearney today watching his daughter play out of Warre Dunes. She plays for Fort Hays State, so we'll probably get a comment, but not today, from Coach Hobson. But it's been, I mean, even you got to take me back to pre-Hobson days. Everything has always seemed to be just a pretty functioning, winning program over there without, and this isn't turmoil, this is a coach moving on to the next level, but it almost looks like they're going to have to search to find the next Bronco. I mean, heck, I don't know. Does Kathy Mettenbrink come over there and take the job? I mean, what are we looking at?
Well, we started off with Ken Rodas. He was there. He started the program. He was there for many years. Brought in Coach Hobson, and he was kind of the understudy for Ken Rodas for a couple of years, and he took over as the head man, and he left and went to Fort Hays State. We brought in Jeff Dittman for about 4 or 5 years, and Kerry was a long-rumored choice to be the next head coach at Hastings College. Even when Jeff was here, they were saying, when's Kerry going to come? When's Kerry going to come? Well, the job's not open yet. when Jeff Dittman decided to leave, the first choice was Kerry Hofstetter, and she came here. She wanted the job here, and now obviously the pull of a Division II program at UNK was much greater than keeping her here.
We're talking with Mike Will. He is the voice of the Hastings College Broncos. He's going to be doing baseball with York later this afternoon over at Duncan Field. But the breaking story this morning, Kerry Hofstetter leaving Hastings College to take over at UNK. We've talked about this before, too, Mike. UNK has taken a handful of Hastings College coaches in the past.
Yeah, you got Kerry, you've got Holtzclaw, who just came over there to join your football staff. So in the past 6 months have not been very friendly for us here.
Yeah, and Coach Squires, of course, Coach Satorius came over for those, both in the volleyball program in the past. So you've got some ties there.
And one thing I might talk to Doug, Damon might have some reaction to this. Trying to keep young coaches at the NAIA level. Of course, he came from I think Dana, and he came as a head baseball coach there at UNK. The pull of a bigger program is getting stronger and stronger, I think, and I think programs like Hastings College and the NAIA ranks, it's going to be tougher to keep some of these coaches, isn't it, Damon?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, during the interview process with the University of Nebraska-Kearney when I was at Dana College, now obviously Hastings is one of the more established, one of the more well-respected NAIA schools, where Dana College was more struggling to kind of find their niche and find their way. I mean, I remember not sleeping for weeks on end during the entire interview process because you just felt like it was your way out. And I think the more and more that resources are getting stretched thinner and thinner at schools that are trying to financially keep the doors open. Now, obviously, Hastings is very sound in that regard. I completely agree. NAIA coaches are trying to get to the NCAA level. NCAA level is seen as now you've arrived, now you can do certain types of things. Now, for me, coming from Dana, where I had zero resources, to UNK, where I felt like I had all the resources, it is a calling card. It is a tremendous amount of draw to kind of get out of the NAIA, where there's a lot of respect for what they are doing at that level. But the NCAA just has such an umbrella. And honestly, there's that, okay, if I can get to the D2 level and show them that I can do that there, well, then my next stop's an assistant at the Division I level, or maybe a Division I head coaching job. That was my thought process when I left the NAIA, was I'll go to Kearney, get my NCAA experience, and move on. I got married, had some kids, fell in love with the Kearney community, and fell in love with the UNK baseball program. So I think that is definitely true, that NAIA is going to have to watch themselves or do a better job of trying to keep the resources coming to their coaches, or they are going to get picked off by the NCAA Division II schools.
Mike Will with us here. What does Hastings College have? I mean, we know that Jamie Van Kirk, All-American. What's the team look like for the women next year?
I don't think the cup board is going to be empty. She's not leaving the program with nobody here. We ended up playing the national tournament in the semifinals the other day, earlier this month, with like three freshmen on the floor and a sophomore to end the ball game. So our cup board is not weak by any means, and I think we'll have a good basketball team next year. It's just the fact now, who's going to run the thing?
When you're a national talk show, you don't have to worry about hurting anybody's feelings. When you're a local talk show, sometimes you got to watch the toes we step on, and I'm not trying to step on any toes here, but an interesting thing I thought, because you can tell me what Carrie's stature was among all NAIA coaches. You've been at the national tournament with her multiple times, but Athletic Director Plinsky had at least the press release today says 130 applicants. He told us 101 a couple of weeks ago when he said he wanted to get this done by Easter, and he was talking about all the Division I assistants and other Division II and NAIA out there. I'm wondering, Carrie has done well at a program that's already been successful, but to have her name, what do you think? Was it just Nebraska ties that may have put her over the top?
You know, her coaching record here was, 68 and 31 in her 3 years, and not to step on Carrie's toes or anything, but she has not won a national championship yet, much like her predecessors and Coach Thompson and things. She basically took over a team from Jeff Dittman, brought in some players, and got on a great run here. I was surprised that Nebraska Kearney, if they had 101 applicants for this job, that Carrie Hofstetter in Hastings, Nebraska was the number one choice. If, in fact, they did have some Division I assistant coaches applying for this job, that Carrie Hofstetter's name rose to the top of the list, so to speak. So, yeah, she's got great Nebraska ties as she grew up here, had the great career at Sandy Creek. But for her, after just 3 years as a head coach at Hastings College, to be, rising to the top of a list that had 101 applicants is somewhat surprising.
Yeah, I mean, this is a double-sided coin. I'm surprised a little bit, but I'm also kind of fired up. I mean, there's no doubt about that she's got those things that you look for in a young coach with success that's been a winner, that's from Nebraska. She's got all those check marks right there. So it'll be interesting to talk with Dr. Plinsky tomorrow a little bit along those lines as well. So, all right, Michael, we appreciate you giving us some time here to talk about the switch over there. And I guess my last question is, now, what does Hastings do about hiring the next women's coach? Because you've got Schmuddy moving out, but he's still on till June. You've got Patty Satorius in as the interim. Which one makes the decision? What happens here?
I don't know. I have not had a chance to talk anyway with the college as of yet. I expect to make some contacts here in a little bit. It's April starting tomorrow, guys, and April, May, and then Jerry Schmuddy leaving at the end of June, and Patty coming on. Of course, she's probably got some ties herself. I don't know if this is a situation where we elevate John Perrone to the job, and have an interim coach. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking right now.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Should be a great day for baseball, so enjoy your day at Duncan.
One other thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what dates they are in the 2015-2016, but when UNK squares off with Fort Hays State next year, you let me know, because that'll be great. Tony Hobson, of course, the former head coach at Hastings College, will now go against Kerry, who is on his staff down at Fort Hays State, and also at Hastings. They will score. They didn't want to play each other while she was here. They didn't think the time was right, but now Kerry's got to play Fort Hays State at least twice a year, maybe three times a year if they get into the tournament together.
Well, maybe we'll finally get old Hobson. That's the old thing. He's he's really done a great job down there as well.
That'll be a great showdown, so to speak. And that's one thing, you know, when we kind of looked at this thing, was if Kerry's going to be interested in the UNK job, even if they offered it to her, was she ready after 3 years as the head coach of Hastings College, was she ready to go back and face Coach Hobson, who really brought her up in the coaching ranks twice, if not three times each and every year? We thought no. That was one of the things that would maybe keep her here for a while. But evidently, again, the pull of the Division II program was too much to overcome.
All right, Mikey, thanks for the insight, man. Have a good one.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
Mike Will, voice of the Broncos, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Hastings sports director, Kerry Hofstetter, leaving the program and coming over to UNK. I don't want to put you on the spot here, Damon, so I won't put you on the spot unless you want to comment on it. I'm just going to make an observation here. There was at least two camps in the transition time from when Mr. McBride retired to when Mr. Plinsky was hired. And I heard a lot, and let's face it, 2 years ago, a lot of the UNK athletics was in a lot different place. Where were both basketball programs? The football program had just come off one bad season after making the playoffs. So these programs were a little bit different spot, but had some coaches that had been around a while. And I'd heard numerous times, well, whoever they bring in is just going to come in to clean house. Clean house. Move coaches on, get some different people in. And then Dr. Plinsky said, you know, he wants young people. Not saying that he's cleaning house, but people thought that he would be a short-term athletic director here. Now, whether that's the case or not, fine. I mean, heck, if he's here 3-4 years and moves on to the next elevation, so be it. We got a new football coach, we've got a new men's basketball coach, and we've got a new women's basketball coach all in 18 months.
Well, I think that, you know, just from, you know, my personal opinion and being the head baseball coach at UNK, I think a lot of that is, I don't think that it was a house cleaning by any means. I think some circumstances in some different areas led to some changes being made. I think, if anything, when you look at the overall totality of the football hire and the basketball hire, like women's basketball hire, like Mr. Will kind of alluded to, I think what the underlying fact is, was she ready or not ready? I don't think that matters. I think what matters is, I think that she's a young, energetic, I think we're making too much out of the age factor in these coaches. But I think the thing about these coaches is they're speaking a different language, a language that modern-day athletic departments and the UNK modern-day athletic department want that language of inspiration, want that language of accountability, want that culture to be developed within their athletic programs. And I think that the fact that they're young, I think we're missing the point as to what their qualifications are from the standpoint of, I think they are young coaches. I think maybe you look at the inexperienced side of some things that everybody kind of wants to say, oh, they're inexperienced. But if Dr. Polinsky entrusts these individuals, then they have a blueprint. They have a plan. He's not arbitrarily shooting from the hip and just making, oh, I just want a young coach. I mean, these individuals are sitting in interviews. They're carrying themselves with a message, a purpose, and he's got a plan in place, and he's got a vision for what he envisions all of our programs to look like. And Coach Lamerson and the new women's basketball coach obviously are working hand in hand with Dr. Polinsky to make those visions a reality. So I don't think that by any means this was a systematic replacement of coaches at all. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm not looking over my shoulder by any means. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we didn't make the playoffs.
You weren't on the committee, were you?
No, I'm not on any committees. But I don't think that, you know, I just truly don't feel like that there's a systematic, you know, I mean, I can understand why the perception would be there, but within the athletic department and as a member of the athletic department, I don't feel like that's the case at all. I think circumstances kind of taken out of context, or if you want to try to get the whole conspiracy theory kind of drummed up, you can take individual situations and add them all together and come up with whatever you want. But I don't feel like that there was a house cleaning going on at UNK Athletic Department.
We'll know a lot more tomorrow when we talk to Coach Hofstetter and get some comments from Coach or Athletic Director Plinski. Got a break coming up here, and then Lane Grindle to talk a little baseball. But before we go into that break, just what we have heard and has been brought up a lot in whatever the coaching change may have been, and a lot of that is always going to go back to Nebraska football when you live in Nebraska. When you had, when you had Tom Osborne, you went to Frank Solich. When you had Frank Solich, you wanted somebody different, so you got Bill Callahan. When you got rid of Bill Callahan, you wanted somebody different, so you got Bo Pelini. Then when you got Bo Pelini, you wanted somebody different, so you got the opposite in Mike Riley. And here at UNK, you got pretty much the exact opposite of Kevin Chaney. I mean, you had an African-American male coach and not from Nebraska with no ties here who didn't have a recruiting base. And now you've got a Caucasian female taking over the program that has all the ties. I mean, Nebraska is what she knows, and obviously Kansas from both recruiting at Hastings and at Fort Hays State. But I think you have made a complete 180 here. I mean, you've definitely got somebody different coaching your program.
Yes. I mean, Coach, I had a lot of respect for Coach Chaney. He was a good man. I think, unfortunately, didn't work out for him here, but I think he was a good man. I think he was a good coach. I know nothing about the women's basketball program, and that's probably ignorant on my part, but, I thought Coach Chaney was a good man, and you know what? At the end of the day, a change needed to be – there was a feeling that a change needed to be made, and now Coach Hofstetter's got a great opportunity, and I'm excited for her to have the opportunity, and I'm excited to have women's basketball reach the ranks. There's a good family atmosphere right now in the UNK Athletic Department. I think everyone's kind of rooting for each other. Everybody's, wants to get this thing up and running. I know everybody's excited about spring football starting, and, Coach Carnes had three huge wins this week, and I don't know if there's anybody more excited than myself for her and her program to get those three big W's when they got off to a rough start. And so we all want to see each other succeed, because no one can succeed without other people succeeding. That's the thing about an athletic department like ours, is we need everybody to kind of do well if we're all going to do well. And so I'm just excited for the opportunity that they have, and I wish her nothing but the very best. And I would say that I can't wait to meet her, but she's got bigger fish to fry than meeting the baseball coach.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth right after this.
A big Buffalo County fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama. Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations. Tickets range from $40 to $75 plus fees. Get your tickets now at etix.com. That's ETIX.com. Alabama, Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with mostly sunny skies across the area today with a high temperature up near 80. Winds will also stay variable at 5 to 15. That with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 53. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 63.
When you're gone, the pieces of my heart.
Back at Eddie Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Dan and Dave with you in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth this last day of March. Don't miss out on the great March sales and March deals at your Midway Auto Dealership. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where you can get 0% APR for 72 months on the new 2015 Chevrolet Cruze. Gets up to 39 miles per gallon highway and has plenty of great technology options. Or you can check out the 2015 Chevy Malibu, still the zero APR for 72 months. The Malibu gets you 36 miles to the gallon with its 2.5-liter engine. Stop in and see the full selection as you're getting the family out. You want to save. You're going to make some trips. We know gas isn't as terrible as it was last summer, but it's not cheap either. So you want to get the best car and get the efficiency there for you. Your Midway Chevrolet deal, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Well, let's go to our phone lines here. Greg in Clay Center is standing by. He's got a comment here for us on the Doug and Daddy Show. So let's see what Greg's got on his mind. Greg, good morning.
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Going good. What's up?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on this Carrie going to Hastings College thing. Or to UNK, you know, I look back at UNK and when it was its most successful, and you can go back to when they had Jessica Kudrowski playing for Joe Sanchez and Amy Stevens had all kinds of, it's all about Nebraska kids. And unfortunately for Coach Chaney, he didn't have a whole lot of ties here. And whether Carey's ready for that job or not, that remains to be seen. Has that Nebraska tie, and she can bring in those good Nebraska kids that can help them get back. And obviously the competition's much stiffer in the MIAA than it is in the RMAC. But, you know, I'd be more likely to, you know, I've got friends who have kids that play at Hastings College. I'll go watch them play. And, we have a relationship with Carrie, and I'd be more than happy to drive over to UNK and watch Nebraska kids play. And, I've got a little free time now on my hands. So, you know, I can do some traveling and watch some different teams. But, I always prefer to go watch kids that, that my kids have competed against or my high school has competed against and really kind of keep track of those kids. And I just think that's always makes it more fun and more interesting and to have more of a rooting interest for some of those kids. And when you have that, it brings in people to watch games and they're buying tickets and they're buying concessions and, so I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think she'll do a great job.
Well, Greg, hey, appreciate it, and it was fun watching your kid do what she did this year as well and the last, 8 years. So thanks for giving
us a buzz,
man. All right,
thank you.
Take care. Greg from Clay Center. I don't know what the magic potion is here either, Damon. You've got to get the Nebraska kids. You know, if they're really good, yeah, you want them to go play for the Huskers or play at Division I level, but you also don't want to let good All-Americans at the NAIA level be playing NAIA basketball when they should be playing Division II basketball. Wayne State has surpassed UNK's women as perennially nationally ranked here since Coach Stevens left. They have now become the number one Division II program, and obviously Wayne State wants to be number one in all the programs. UNK wants to be number one in all the programs. So that'll be the first thing is to win the state. And it doesn't matter what the sport is. You need to win the state.
Yeah, I think that there's a genuine – I mean, you want to win your home state. You want to win your battleground state for recruiting. I also would preface that with it's not as easy as everyone thinks. Just because you have Nebraska ties or just because you focus on the state of Nebraska – you know, there are a limited number of players that have that ability to play at the Division II MIAA level across all sports. And so I think that when you say, oh, there's Nebraska, yeah, I think without a doubt you got to win the state of Nebraska. But you also have to have an open mind to understanding what other pockets that you have the ability to pull kids from and draw kids from. If there's one thing that I've realized in recruiting that has changed over the last 4 or 5 years is each kid is a lot different on what they want. And it's not as cut and dry as it used to be. Hey, I'm from a D2 school. You know, you've only got NAIA offers or you only got junior college offers. You're going to come to me. Nowadays, there's a lot of different factors that go into it that you may not understand with a young person when you're recruiting them. And a lot of it just it may come down to class size or school size or boyfriend or girlfriend or my best friend's going. So it's a very different world in this in dealing with this generation as far as it's not as cut and dry as people would think. I it's not even a financial thing sometimes with many of these young people when it comes down to, hey, am I going to go to school A or if I'm going to go to school B? So, you know, just because you have those ties in the state does not necessarily open up doors. She's going to have to hustle. She's going to, I mean, just like all coaches do. But, you know, I wish her nothing but the very best in the recruiting side of Nebraska.
Doug Duda, UNK baseball coach, Damon Day, my co-host today. And Lane Grindle is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Lane, thanks for holding on here as we've got a new basketball coach in Kearney. But what a weekend for baseball, man. How's it going?
Going well, obviously. You know, Nebraska's on a roll right now on the diamond, and it's been really fun to watch. This team has taken on the personality of its head coach, for sure. I call them the little mini Darrens. I mean, they just they come to the ballpark every day ready to go, and they don't seem to get too high or too low. And obviously, you know, as Damon knows, that's a huge deal in baseball, and this team seems to have that recipe right now.
Well, I got to ask you, what's the difference between prepping for your radio broadcast where you can just plop down and then TV where you got to put the suit and tie on and then they, you know, obviously put a lot of makeup on you?
Well, the makeup's a big part. That's the big difference. I like to knot it up with a tie on the radio side anyway, in case people are looking in the booth while they're at the ballpark. So I wear a tie, suit and tie every game. No, I do not. Usually it's polo and slack. When I'm on the radio. So, yeah, it's just more of the dress attire is a little bit different. And yeah, I will admit I have to put a little bit of makeup on for that stand-up at the beginning of the broadcast. But it's fun. I like crossing over. You know, I think you get a chance to share your knowledge of the program with maybe some other people that maybe don't listen to the radio as consistently as we'd like them to, and maybe expose you to some different types of people. So, it's been fun. I'm enjoying, you know, crossing over, and I'll do it again tonight beyond the television side of things. But it's just been a pleasure to cover this baseball team this year.
For those folks that don't know it, the game on Sunday represented the exact halfway point of the year. 28 games down, Nebraska's 21-7, winners of 14-15 during the homestand, and 28 more to go. And so let's take a look at that. It's more than just Texas this weekend, Lane. What has got this team clicking to scratch out a couple of close wins, whether it was Indiana State, whether it was Florida Gulf Coast? I mean, Coach Erstad even talked about it. He didn't quite say, you know, this will burn our butts in the RPI and Selection Sunday or Memorial Day, as it may be, but that's what he meant. They scratched out wins against teams you're supposed to beat. And even though, you know, hey, 14 out of 15, nobody's supposed to really do that unless you're in the top three in the country.
Yeah, it's, you know, the formula for them, obviously it started on the mound. I mean, they're pitching it at such an elite level right now, really unlike any Husker baseball team that I've covered. And this is my eighth year doing play-by-play for the program. And, you know, I covered them pre- and post-game for the 2 years previous to that for the network. So, I mean, I would say they're pitching it better right now than even that 2006 team did. And that's crazy because that was a team with Chava and Tony and Johnny. In the weekend rotation, but I would say this group's pitching it better than that group did right now. I mean, obviously things can change and it can even out at some point, but when you haven't given up more than four runs since February 20th, that's unbelievable. And I think it's been only two times this year that Nebraska's given up more than four runs. It's incredible. You're going to be in every game when you're doing that. You're going to have a chance to win it every single time. And they're getting such a consistent performance on the mound, and by the way, they're one of the better defensive teams in the country, too, that I think they know each day they're going to be in the game whether the bats show up or not, and so they can hang in there. And maybe if they're not having the best day offensively, it doesn't matter. They only have to put one inning together to maybe pull out the W, and that's been the case in a couple of these wins, where it's just been one good inning that they've been able to string some hits together, maybe manufacture a run here or there, maybe the opposition feels a little pressure and throws the ball away, whatever it's been. You know, people will say, hey, you got to be a little bit lucky to win 14 out of 15. That's true, but when you're pitching it this well, luck's going to happen for you because the other team's going to make some mistakes. And Nebraska's taken advantage of all those situations when they presented themselves to them through this stretch.
Damon Day here, and obviously the Big Ten season has started with a little off weekend with playing against Texas and doing a great job. But is the Big Ten really arrived? I mean, that's the thing. When the change came between Big 12 and Big Ten, obviously it was not made for baseball purposes, but yeah, it really affected the baseball program tremendously to have to go from probably one of the top three or four conferences in the country to a kind of all a has-been or never has-been type of big deal with the Big Ten. But Illinois played better. Indiana lost a big series, but Iowa's now kind of jumped in. Is the Big Ten really going to start getting more bids and with the addition of Nebraska and Maryland to the Big Ten? Do you see the Big Ten really becoming a baseball conference?
I don't know that I would say baseball conference, but I think it's certainly going to be better, and it's going to be better permanently. This isn't a flash in the pan right now that you're seeing. The conference has made a bigger commitment to baseball. Part of that's the BTN money that's been rolling in. These schools had to do something with it, and a lot of them have invested in their facilities. Indiana has a brand-new stadium. Purdue has a brand-new stadium, even though Purdue's not enjoying a lot of success right now. Northwestern's renovating Rocky Miller Park, something that needed to happen about 40 years ago. Iowa's renovating Duane Banks Field, which is another thing that severely needed to happen. Minnesota has a new ballpark. There's just a bigger commitment to the sport. There's been better coaching hires. You know, when coaches have left or been let go in this conference over the last couple of years, the ADs have been more diligent. They've tried to get it right. They haven't just promoted somebody or done the easy thing and hired the guy down the road that has been a 500 coach. They've gone out and gotten dynamic, young, forward-thinking coaches like Eric Bakich at Michigan, like Chris Lemonis at Indiana when Tracy Smith left. Lemonis is maybe the best recruiter in the country at Louisville, and Indiana goes and makes him their head coach. So I think the conference has just gotten their act together from a baseball standpoint, and that makes a bigger difference than the weather. And I've said that from day one. Everybody wanted to talk about the weather. Well, there's plenty of examples of northern schools that have found success. Yes, it's harder to sustain. Yes, it's harder to get there, but it can be done. You have to have the right formula for it. And I think that the Big Ten is finally putting some emphasis into that formula. They're figuring it out. And I think they're going to be a much better conference. I think they're going to be a multi-bid conference for the extended future. Now, this year, they've got a chance to get five, maybe six teams into a regional. I don't know that you're going to see them do that every year, but I think that this year, that's definitely a possibility. Because if you look at the RPI, and in baseball, the RPI is so, so important because it's not like college basketball where so many games are on TV. The selection committee can use the eye test, and they can apply other things to it. The RPI is one of the only things the selection committee really has going for it when they're selecting these teams for these regionals. So the RPI is so important. And right now you've got six teams that if the season ended today, just judging by the RPI, they're probably in. And that's unheard of. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for some people to accept that. I'm sure some of the other conferences are going to go, wait a second, that can't be happening. The Big Ten can't have five or six bids. But right now they've earned it. And there's some big non-conference wins out of this conference. Obviously, Nebraska sweep this weekend, one of them, but Illinois win at Oklahoma State when they took two out of three. Indiana sweeping Cal State Fullerton. Indiana beating a top 10 team in Louisville last week. That was the only win Indiana got last week because then Iowa swept them. There's a lot of things out of conference. This conference did well this year, and they're paying. It's paying off now for them.
Lane Griddle, Husker Sports Network, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this final day of March. Just some numbers for the fans out there, and if I've missed it here an inch or two, you can let me know, Lane. But I believe when Nebraska entered the Big Ten, the overall conference RPI was 17th. They were making so much fun of them, and some of these conferences that you've never heard of that that they're the ones playing the play-in games in the basketball tournament, and now they're fifth. And then the team ERA, as of this moment, sets at 2.36, and the record since ERA was kept back in the early 60s, I believe at Nebraska, is somewhere in the 2.6 to 2.7 range. So they are almost a third of a run below, and we got half the season to go, I understand that. But wasn't pitching lane supposed to be the potential weak spot with the kids that Nebraska lost? And now you got these four guys that are National Players of the Week from Saturday.
Yeah, you know, you lose Christian DeLeon, who didn't pitch over the last month of the season last year, but he was one of their top arms. You lose Aaron Bummer through the draft, and you lose Zach Hirsch, who was so good towards the back of the bullpen last year. And you were asking yourself, how does Nebraska replace these guys? Well, one way they've done it is that Kyle Kubot's been the Kyle Kubot he's been for his entire career, not the guy he was for a good portion of last season when he came back. He's been back. He's Kyle. He's arguably the best pitcher in the Big Ten Conference this year right now. Chance Sinclair has hit his stride. He's back to being the guy he was at the end of the year last year. And Derek Burkamper's emergence. Derek Burkamper has the highest ceiling of any of the three guys that Nebraska throws at you on the weekend. And I always thought that Nebraska was going to have a great bullpen this year, because if you followed this team game by game last year, you saw how dynamic Colton Howell was, and Jeff Chestnut as well. If those guys could start throwing strikes and commanding the zone, they would be really, really difficult. And they figured that part out. Colton's making himself a lot of money right now. He's going to be a pretty high draft pick this summer because he has a mid to upper 90s fastball with a swing and miss slider, and that's a pretty good combination, obviously. So, it's incredible. I think the more impressive statistic is opponent batting average and how that's dropped. It was 291 in Ted Silva's first year in 2012. It dipped into the 280s in 2013. It was in the 260s last year in 2014, a 41-win season for Nebraska. It's like 232 right now as we talk. That has consistently gone down along with the ERA, and I think it tells you a lot about Ted Silva's formula and his philosophies. It took a little bit for them to sink in and for him to kind of establish that culture within his pitching staff, but now it's there, and it's almost becoming plug and play for him now, because you've seen the freshmen, I think, come in and hit the ground running a lot faster than the freshmen did in years one and years two, because they have that veteran leadership above them that helped them settle in.
Last minute here with Lane Grindle, Husker Sports Network. Five more games this week. I think it would almost irk Coach Erstad to lose either tonight or tomorrow more than it would have to Texas. Creighton off to a decent start, and then a nice game with Werner at Werner Park with Nebraska, Omaha on Wednesday. And then to get back into conference play, maybe the most important series of the year at Maryland, who was preseason number one. A little preview of the week, Lane.
Well, a big week. Every week's a big week right now when you're playing for the things Nebraska's playing for, which is hosting a regional, potentially trying to position yourself for a top eight national seed. I mean, you're halfway through the year. It's a little early to get talking about those types of things, but every game's going to impact that one way or another. So, you know, like tomorrow night, Omaha is a team that's going to play you very, very hard, but they don't have a great RPI. So if you lose that one, that can hurt you. And they can beat Nebraska. I mean, they absolutely could. So there's a lot of things that are at risk or at stake in every single game. Tonight, obviously big in-state rivalry, and you don't want to lose either one of these games if you're Nebraska. Trust me, Darren Erstad doesn't even remember what happened on Sunday, and he won't let his team remember it. He's so big on, I don't care what happened yesterday, this game gives you something different every single day when you show up to the ballpark. And that's a big part of his message to his team almost every single day. So the midweek's big. Nebraska is deep enough from a pitching standpoint to handle these Tuesday, Wednesdays going into the weekend better than they ever could have before, so that's a good thing for Nebraska. And then this weekend's going to be a big series. Maryland is probably a little bit angry after dropping two out of three to Michigan on the road last week, and they've got one of the best Friday night guys in college baseball. So Chance Sinclair versus Mike Sherwin, that's going to be a incredible matchup of a couple of All-Americans. And then I think Nebraska has the advantage on Saturday and Sunday. But we'll find out. You know, Maryland was a super regional team a year ago, and they're not going to back down from Nebraska for a second.
He is the man, Lane Grindle. Check him out on the Husker Sports Network, and his smiling face doing a little TV work tonight as well as Nebraska takes on Creighton. Easter in Maryland. Enjoy it, would you?
hey, it'll be a lot of fun. You guys enjoy it as well. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lane. Lane Grindle joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If Nebraska, and you know all about stretches, Damon, because we'll talk about yours coming up here after the break, but Nebraska will play with Omaha at Warner Park, counted that. They'll play five on the road. But if they can survive Maryland, let's say they go 2-1 at Maryland, which would be great, and then they come home, and then they play eight of their next nine with the only road game at Creighton at home. But then it's the last month of the season that will be a grind. Three of their final four conference series are on the road when they go to Iowa, Northwestern, and Illinois. So they need to position themselves to be ready for those road games.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when you get your home series, you better take advantage of them. I mean, that's the biggest thing about college baseball. When you go on the road, it's a whole different game, to be honest with you, when you go on the road. So they're going to need to make sure that they do take care of business at home, win the series is at home, and then that way it does give you a little wiggle room down the stretch for from the standpoint of when you do get on the road, if you happen to drop one, if you've taken care of business at home like you're supposed to. But it's such a different thing for those guys because it's a three-game set, not a four-game set. And so, you know, I think the Nebraska's had a great season so far. They've done a great job so far. But they're going to have to beat the right teams. And starting with Maryland is winning series with Maryland. You know, I know that everybody around Nebraska baseball is extremely excited about it, and they've done a good job, and their RPI is higher. But at the end of the day, when you start to look at quality wins and those types of things, they still haven't beaten that nationally. You know, this was their first weekend where they did get Texas at home with the three W's, but they did have the loss to Texas A&M. They did have that loss to LSU. And people will say, well, that was at the beginning of the year. Of course it was. But you're not trying. I mean, they're not trying just to get in.
A&M's number one, brother.
I know. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to, what? Exactly. That's the point. They're trying to, what? Host. They want to host a regional at Haymarket Park, and they want to be one of the top 16 teams in the country that gets the opportunity to do that. So you cannot have a slip-up against a Creighton right now or a UNO. You know, you have to go win a series at Maryland. You have to do these things if you want to host a regional. They're going to have a successful season. But how successful is it going to be? It's much easier to make it to a super regional when you're hosting a regional.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we've got the Cunningham's comedy clip for this week. We've got comedy night coming up on Thursday. We'll talk with Damon Day about his UNK baseball team. They, just like the Huskers, had a nice weekend. And for the Lopers, it was like no other, with 17 home runs and 79 runs scored. And Farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is here. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. Superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons why you should have a T&L in your field. Contact T&L Irrigation or your local T&L dealer by visiting their website at TLIRR.com and learn why T&L Irrigation Systems are like no other. We're back with more after this.
Back in time, a caveman. His name was Ugg. Got tired of gathering nuts and berries. Decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Dog now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply. West off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Catch all the basketball action at Jersey Sports Bar and Grill. It's basketball madness at its best right now, Jersey style. Come in, catch the games live from every angle with TVs everywhere. Grab lunch and dinner with a cold beer or order your favorite appetizer or wings. It's the next best thing to being courtside, so call your buddies and meet them at Jersey's, where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney. J-E-R-S-E-Y-S.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Doug and Addy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, last show of March, and it's time for our Cunningham's Comedy Contest. The winner will be drawn out after Wednesday's show. You'll receive two tickets to the early comedy show, which the evening gets going at 6. You can sit down, enjoy a good meal. The show begins at 7:30. What we're going to do here is play an audio cut. It's either from a stand-up routine or a movie or a television show, and then all you have to do is give us the correct answer. We'll randomly draw out a winner. We'll play it for you today. Tomorrow, it'll be up on our Facebook page. And here's how you can get registered. You can either call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 646-0506. That's 308-646-0506. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox or just comment on our Facebook page with your answer. We'll need your name, your contact information, and, of course, most importantly, the answer. And here is this week's Cunningham's Comedy Clip.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Well, I do work, sir. So if you don't mind...
Well, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
Give us the movie, TV show, actor, whatever.
And I have no clue. Like, I literally have no clue.
And you will be able to see Charlie Wiener this Thursday night. It's April Fool's Day tomorrow, and then it just carries right into April 2nd. Thursday night, the early show, a pair of tickets to Cunningham's Comedy Night with our Cunningham's Comedy Contest. We'll play the clip again tomorrow. It's up on our Facebook page. So either comment on the Facebook page with the answer, give us the answer in the email at the Dent Popper inbox, or call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506. Loper baseball. There's no way to say it. Lincoln University is not good, but you made sure that you took care of business and you got through the weekend, and it's nice to be the team that can go out and win four games the way you guys won four games.
You know, I've probably gotten more reaction or more feedback about a weekend series than that one when everyone started to read the statistics. But in all honesty, I was really proud of our guys. I thought they handled the weekend with a maturity and a class about them. Their coach was very complimentary and even, you know, flat out just said, you know, that was the most respectful any team has treated us throughout this entire season. And that's something that I was extraordinarily proud about with our baseball program. We played hard. We did what we needed to do. And I don't feel like we ran the scores up on them, but you do have to reward your guy. I mean, it's not easy to hit. I mean, what they did is still, I mean, I don't care who they're throwing. You know, we still hit .500 for the weekend, but I was really proud of the way that the guys handled it and the way they respected the game and respected their opponents. And you know, now it's on to Emporia State. And that's what you have to, that's kind of all you can really say about last weekend.
And all these kids get to have a good feeling. I mean, you had some kids that we haven't mentioned names of hit multiple home runs and do some things. And obviously you got to play some kids that maybe aren't always going to be in the lineup. So I assume they also kind of know I mean, they weren't playing the Yankees, that they were playing Lincoln. And if they do that this weekend, then that's something to go do some cartwheels about.
Yeah, I think without a doubt our guys understand the mission that's ahead of them and what our tasks are and what our goals are as a baseball program. And I think they, you know, they did what they needed to do. That was who we were scheduled to play that weekend, and we did that. I think that the page has been turned to Emporia State. It's a big weekend series for us. It's probably one of the biggest series we've had at Memorial Field since, you know, our 2011 run to the conference championship when Mesa State came to town. And so, you know, Emporia State, they're a little beat up right now. They dropped one to Southwest Baptist, you know. So we're going to you know, don't mess with that dinged up animal, as I always like to say. And so our focus has to be on Emporia State. Our focus has to be on our preparation and what we're going to try to accomplish. It's a short week with the Easter holiday, so we only have 2 days of practice. Most of our pitchers won't get their normal bullpen sessions in, so it's a different week for us from a setup standpoint, but it's also an important week, and I think that's something you can't shy away with our guys is they know it's Emporia State. They know they're picked to win the conference. They know, you know, they were the team at the regional last year. They know, I mean, our guys know we're in second place. Our guys know we're 2 games back. Our guys know that the next 16 games will dictate what their legacy and what their success rate is going to be, and can they accomplish what they set out to accomplish. And so from a head coaching standpoint, I'm excited. I'm excited for the ride. You know, this is what you do. This is what you lift weights for in the morning, is to put yourself in these positions to play big games and have big weekends. And this is the first of many. You know, we got 4 weekends left, and this is just the first of many moving forward.
What are Emporia's, what's the greatest challenges? Where are their all-conference, all-Americans type? What are we going to see?
Well, if you Emporia State, you're going to see one of the top offenses in the MIAA, and they do it a lot of different ways. They have the speed game in the top half with Justin Harris and Levi Parker, and then they go with the big boys. Dean Long in the middle of their lineup, I think, leads the MIAA, is tied with Max Ayoub in the MIAA with home runs. And so, you know, they're going to try to run you. They're going to try to spread you out. They're going to try to do some different things and put you in position to be out of position, so when they do make contact, you're kind of always having to track yourself. So our communication is going to have to be good. Our systems are going to have to be good. We're going to have to make sure we get the baseball to where it needs to be when it is hit. And our pitchers are going to have to throw strikes and work down. It's a big weekend for our pitching staff. They got to step up and rise to the challenge and do some things because Emporia State can hit very. They're an offensive team, and so I'm excited for that challenge for our pitching staff. I know Coach Clapp's excited about that. I know the pitchers in general are excited to get the opportunity. This is, like I said earlier, this is what you get up in the morning for. This is what you go through all the fall practices is to put yourself in a position to make games count and have big games. And you know, we're going to play as hard as we possibly can, but this is just another weekend. They all matter now moving forward. Not that they haven't in the past, but now you're kind of starting to see the playoff picture shake out. You're starting to see some things, and we put ourselves in a really good position. We're second, you know, heading into April, and we wanted to be within striking distance when it came to April, and we've done that.
And obviously the Easter egg hunt Saturday.
Easter egg hunt following the game. That is strictly because my little girl Emma wanted an Easter egg hunt. So we're gonna have an Easter egg hunt up at the baseball stadium. We did one a couple years ago, and she absolutely loved it. So she asked me again this year if Daddy were gonna have an Easter egg hunt. And by God, I got on the phone with Hilke Brand and Manny Reinsch and the event staff at UNK, and we're having an Easter egg hunt after Saturday's game. And so I sell it as it's the world's biggest Easter egg grounds to hunt on. It's like the Bering Sea of Easter eggs. It's going to be on the actual stadium, on the field at Memorial, so we'll get them in the helmet racks. And so it's going to be a good time to kind of there's a lot of family in town, a lot of opportunities. And so hopefully we'll be celebrating a good weekend during that Easter egg hunt.
Fun times, fun times, fun times. Baseball, again, because of Easter, Thursday at 3, Friday's doubleheader starts at 1, and then Saturday they will play at noon with the Easter egg hunt to follow. One more question. I looked at the Division II baseball poll yesterday. I was a little bit surprised to see the old conference has the number one team in the country and a couple of teams that are up there compared to the MIAA, which is always there. Just your thoughts, because let's face it, when it comes down to this seeding and stuff at the end of the year, this stuff does matter.
Oh, without a doubt. I think the RMAC is top-heavy with two teams. You know, Colorado Mesa's, they don't, now that we've left and now that New Mexico Highlands has a new coaching staff, the RMAC is completely different. There's two top teams, and everybody's chasing those teams. I mean, when the MIAA added us, added Central Oklahoma, added, you know, they just added more just beating up on each other. If you want to be nationally ranked, then you got to get into a conference where you can front load it and do the things that you need to do and then have the other teams always kind of chasing you. In the MIAA, it's just a, you know, you look at ours, we got a 9-7 team that's, you know, in the league that's, you know, 14-14 overall in Northwest Missouri State or something like that, and they're seventh in a league. I mean, so when you look at what this league is doing to itself and how the strength of the schedule is you look at it as it's just a lot more beating up and those types of things. You know, something that I would, when you talk about RPI and whatnot, when you look at our regional schedules, when you look at our regional, the University of Nebraska, for example, right now we have the number one ranked schedule in our region, and people wouldn't recognize that. But we went to Metro State, who's over 500. We went to Pueblo, who's ranked 11th in the country. We went down to Dallas and did our thing. You know, we've been on the road for all these types of things. So a lot of it in Division II isn't near as much. For example, St. Cloud State's ranked 9th in the country. They've played one game over a team of 500, versus a team over 500. That all gets shaken out in the NCAAs. That all gets shaken out in regional polls. And so it's a little different where in the Division I level, they keep track of that right now. Now's when the NCAA starts to get involved, the polling for the regionals, how you're trying to get yourself seated. And so, you know, if we can continue to do some good things and continue to win the games that we need to win, then, you know, we're going to put ourselves in that discussion, and that's all you can really do is, you know, one of the hardest things to do in all of Division II athletics is to make it to a baseball regional. The number of spots dictated by the number of schools that play the game is not because they say for financial reasons. There's only 54 spots in baseball for the 300 teams.
Fun times. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question because this will be fun. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, with Greg Marshall's name being thrown about to take over at Texas, if this would be a good move. 55% said yep. 45% said no. And I was watching some of the analysts yesterday. They're just talking. Texas has everything you could need. It has all the resources. It has all the recruiting. So, I mean, let's face it. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter if you like or don't like Texas as a fan. That would be a great – I mean, if he's going to move, that's the job to move. You don't go to Alabama, Wichita State's Greg Marshall. Will he get that opportunity and go to Texas? Today, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Would you rather see Kentucky or another team win this year's men's college basketball tournament?
Another team. If you vote for Kentucky, then I'm sorry. I'm sure there's Kentucky fans out there, and I don't mean to. I do, because how can you root for that guy? But at the end of the day, it means nothing. It just has zero impact on my life.
I want to see the Wisconsin-Kentucky winner win the national championship. That will be my opinion right now. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back with a couple of other sporting notes, and we'll wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is proud to announce former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback Tim Tebow will be at FCA's Football and Faith Night Thursday, April 16th, 7:30 at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. Tim's excited to share his story of football and faith with special musical guest Voda. Tickets go on sale March 11th at 10 a.m. at the Heartland Event Center box office through Ticketmaster, online, or at 800-745-3000. FCA's Football and Faith Night with Tim Tebow. Find out more at NebraskaFCA.org.
All tires are on sale now at the March into April sale event at all Graham Tire locations. Purchase any four Hankook tires and get two free oil changes. Plus, when you buy any three Goodyear Assurance Comfort Treads or Wrangler SRA tires, you get the fourth tire at half price. And the people you trust for tires are tops in service, too. Save on many popular services for your car or light truck. It's the March into April sale event at Graham Tire, now through Saturday, April 4th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Like Matty Shung, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Is this Footloose?
Let's hear it for the boy.
My baby, he don't talk sweet.
As long as you like it.
He ain't got much to say. Yeah. Old school.
That's old school, no doubt about it. Walter Pitchford isn't going to play basketball at Nebraska anymore. That was one of those rumblings we'd heard for quite some time. Well, after the season had ended, he was getting you 9 points and 4.5 rebounds last year, 7 points, 4.5 rebounds this year in 26 starts played in 30 games. Let's face it, Nebraska can use everything they have, and he's going to stay and finish his schooling. He just doesn't want to play basketball. I don't know what sign that means. And then again, after this Randy Gregory thing, you never know what's going on with these kids, with what they want to do. He's not transferring. It's not a basketball thing, apparently. He just must not like Coach Miles anymore, and so he's going to focus on his studies. So there you go.
It happens.
Nebraska football team back on the practice field for the first time since spring break yesterday. They'll go again tomorrow, pretty much fully healthy. Jamal Turner among those that was able to get back on the practice field. UNK, first practice for Coach Josh Lamberson is this afternoon. It's open to the public, so if you want to go watch Loper football, practice is set for 3:45. They'll go today, Thursday, Friday, and then 4 days the next 2 weeks, next 3 weeks, which ends with the spring game. We've talked about Nebraska baseball. Grand Island baseball swept yesterday over Columbus. They pick up two wins. It was Grand Island's boys soccer team beating Hastings. Hastings won the girls' game today. Norfolk's going to be busy. Kearney High plays Norfolk High. Grand Island Northwest plays Norfolk Catholic Lutheran High. And Lexington will be at Holdridge. Kearney tennis team beats Holdridge to open the season 8-1. And that, I believe, pretty much catches us up on everything else that's going on out there. Damon, anything else, man?
Good luck to Coach Lamberson.
Time to go.
Gotta be excited.
Be a little warm.
We'll be a little bit different.
A little warm there,
but no. Good luck to him and come on out and support UNK baseball this weekend at Memorial. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. Good college baseball. Can't get here fast enough. That's my wife.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Can't wait. Your rotation's the same.
Yeah, we're going Jake Dittman in game number one, Mitchell Robinson in game number two, game three starters to be announced. And then on game four, we'll go Chris Sievers. So,
folks, when you're out and about, no matter what the story is, you need to get something to eat or cool down with a beverage. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop with their great flame-broiled buffalo wings. Try out the new mango habanero sauce that is coming out. It's not even on the menu yet. Just special order it. They'll have it. You've been listening to the Doug and Daddy Show, or get your favorite one, whatever the case may be. Great quesadillas, homestyle pizzas, burgers. I like the prime rib sandwich from time to time. It's Tuesday. That means dollar off any salad, taco salad, chicken salad, whether you're getting the breaded where you can get the sauce on it. I like the chicken tender, hoagie, ribs, whatever the case may be. And, of course, enjoy watching all of your favorite sporting events. If you want to play a little Keno, kick back, relax in the air conditioning there at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill in downtown Kearney. I guess that'll bring us to the end of today's program. And tomorrow, Carrie Hofstetter, the new women's basketball coach at UNK, will be among our guests. Women's Final Four was set last night. I thought it was so cool to see Connecticut trail at the halftime to Dayton, because those are the kind of things that will keep interest in the sport. But in the end, all the number one seeds advance to the Final Four, and that's bad for the sport, in my opinion, because it continues to be that way year after year after year. I don't know why there's that separation, because on Sunday, the two Elite Eight games were very close. Last night, the Maryland-Tennessee game was kind of ugly, but Maryland ends up winning it. They'll play Connecticut. South Carolina will play Notre Dame, and Connecticut will probably beat Notre Dame in the national championship. But we'll get to talk about that next Tuesday.
Yes, we will.
So, folks, we want to thank you for joining us on the program. I want to thank Mike Will for talking a little bit about the UNK Hastings College women's basketball change. Lane Grindle from the Husker Sports Network and Damon Day, UNK baseball coach. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, put that sunblock on.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!